I'd like to welcome Grizzly Coolers to the sponsorship of not only the podcast, but my hunt lifestyle. I couldn't be more thrilled that they are an American-made company that supplies durable, hard-sided coolers and hunting blinds. As you guys know, the meat from every one of my hunts means the world to me, my family, and friends. Meat storage and temperature control is of the utmost importance when transferring game from the hunt to your freezer, and there's nothing better than Grizzly products. The coolers are roto-molded, built for performance, field-tested, and guaranteed for a lifetime. Grizzly also has a wide variety of gear for all your outdoor adventure and training needs. Followers of the podcast get an exclusive 20% off of everything using code KEEPHAMMERING at grizzlycoolers.com upon checkout. Again, that's use code KEEPHAMMERING at checkout. I cannot say enough good things about the guys over at Montana Knife Company. I've been using their knives in the mountains for the past 3 years, and I've been nothing but impressed. They're an American company, their knives are made here in America, and their master bladesmith, Josh Smith, is one of the best knife makers out there. Their culinary cutlery is some of the best I've used, even though I don't use it because I don't cook, but I do use it when I'm eating. But I do know any cook would likely love them in their kitchen. I'm proud to partner with the guys over at Montana Knife and looking forward to some cool new products we're working on collaborating on in the coming months. Head over to MontanaKnifeCompany.com today and use code CAM for free shipping.
Every step I take, I move my truth. Every time they tell me stop, I use. Every comment, hate that makes my fuel. Gather up my energy and boom. I hear them talking, saying the way that I move is so reckless. That is a part of my mind I've been blessed with. Giving my blood so I am relentless.
All right, well, welcome to Keep Hammering Collective Solo. This is a solo because nobody gives a fuck about you guys. But
we know that.
So this is just me, but you guys are going to help me talk.
Yeah,
perfect. And for introductions, we got Gideon. We just go by middle name. So what's your middle name?
Lawrence.
That's right. That's right. We knew that from breakfast.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah. We got James Gideon William, Connor Lawrence.
Westlake.
All right. Well, you know, one thing I didn't learn until the other day is you guys actually had a podcast at one time.
Yeah. I believe it's still out there.
Yeah, it's still out there. You can still find it.
Yeah. Which probably not a great idea to do, but.
Cool logo though.
Yeah. A lot of experience.
That's what it's all about.
It was a golfing centric podcast. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I guess you could say
that. We took the podcast about as serious as I take my actual golf game. Yeah. So it didn't go very far.
But didn't last very long.
Putting from the rough, huh?
Yeah.
It's
in more ways than one.
A little bigger than this one, but
right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the goal, to get to where you guys were when you
once we got above, you know, Joe's podcast, we just decided that's not really fair. So
yeah. No. Yeah.
Artistically you can just only go so far.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You guys had achieved all you wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. We had everything we ever set out to achieve, and life got boring.
Yeah, I understand. It's like, that's why it's kind of like Jordan when he went to baseball.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you guys could come back. And
a lot of people have made that comparison.
Yeah.
We have heard that before.
We're pretty humble. So.
Well, so we're going to, this is going to be another weekly update, right? I think that's kind of what we've been doing. Yeah. When I can't get any guests to show up to my podcast. No, actually, these are like bonus podcasts. So we still have the regular guests, but we thought we'd throw in these updates in between. What's on our schedule for today?
We got a lot to talk about. A lot happened, I feel like, over the last weekend, since Thursday or so. Big thing, women's basketball, NCAA basketball. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark, greatest to ever do it, possibly.
Yeah. Well, no, because she's got some haters that say it. Because she didn't win a ship, she can't be the GOAT.
I saw that. Yeah. That was a...
The GOAT conversation is always about the championships, I feel like.
That seems like
a tough watch, that game.
There's some buzz, some hype. Caitlin brought it. But then that also got my eyes on Juju Watkins from USC. And she can fucking ball.
Definitely.
I mean, for a freshman.
She's fun to watch.
She's you know, scored 51, which I think was the most this season for women's basketball. Then Paige, is it Bukers?
Bukers, I think.
Yeah, from UConn.
Paige Buckets.
Buckets, yeah, she can ball too. I was like looking forward to the game. Yeah. It was like, okay, what's my day going to be today? Well, I know in the afternoon I'm watching, you know, 4 hours of basketball.
Yeah.
The Elite Eight, then the Final Four, and then the championship game. I was locked in. But
I don't think I've ever set time out of my day for a woman's sport before until this March Madness.
I loved when, you know, Caitlin started off in the championship game hot. 15 or 18 or something in the first quarter, maybe 15 in the first quarter.
I think so.
That was fun. Yeah. But I think South Carolina is just a better team.
They did a good job of shutting her down in the latter half of the game for sure.
Yeah, if you looked at the bench scoring, it was like 36 points for South Carolina, 0 for Iowa.
Yeah, can't win a chip like that.
Oh, it's going to be tough. Yeah. Going to be tough. And so the depth, a lot of athleticism and speed, it seemed like, on South Carolina. In Iowa, I feel like, you know, without Caitlin, would they even make the tournament? You know, I feel like she did a lot to elevate that team on her own, got them in two finals last, and they're not like a UConn. It used to be like they're in women's basketball, it was like there's like four teams. There used to be Tennessee, UConn, South Carolina's in there now. Yeah. And then who would be another big one? Anyway, Stanford has a really good coach, Tara somebody.
One of the greats.
She's a legend.
Household name.
Hey, I knew the first name. I mean, that's got to count for something. But no, she is kind of an icon in the coaching. So yeah, Stanford. And other than that, it seems like there's enough good players for those four teams. Then the other 100 and whatever teams.
Yeah.
Good luck.
You're not going to compete.
I mean, yeah, I think the college players this year did more for women's basketball than any of the players that are currently in the WNBA ever.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
definitely.
No one cared really until this year.
Yeah. You know, we had a player out here that people actually cared about and still sort of do, Sabrina Ines.
That's right. Inescu. Yeah, she played for Oregon.
Yeah, she was good. I mean, I don't know how many triple-doubles she had, but a bunch. And so I kind of did follow her a little bit. I think she went to New York maybe. And but it's tough. It's like you see they do those little clips on the sidewalk and they say, do you want four tickets to a WNBA game or $1? And people say, I'll take $1. And it's like, I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just... You know, when people talk about, well, they should make more money, but if nobody's watching it, where's this money coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope.
It's a business.
I mean, the NBA, I think, subsidizes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They give them, I think it's like $10 million a year.
Yeah.
And without it, they haven't made money.
Yeah.
And then you see some of the WNBA players kind of shitting on Caitlin. I'm like, what are you doing? I mean,
shooting yourself in the foot.
Why are you doing that? Don't you want these eyes to follow her? And instead of saying, you know, kind of diminishing what she's done in college, it's like, man, it just, you know, they say, well, she hasn't done anything. She's going to be going against grown women. It's like, okay, well, you guys have had the league for I don't know how many years and nobody gives a fuck. So you might want to switch it up a little bit and maybe, you know, support this talent coming up. But
definitely.
I don't know. I think... I see some good players out there and I do, you know, it's fun to watch. I love the excitement. I loved being involved in it. I just hope it continues, but I'm not, you know, with Caitlin coming in and having that unlimited range and the hype. And then she kind of had a little swagger too, which is kind of cool. It's going to be tough to simulate that. Is that going to happen again or is that lightning in a bottle?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I guess, at least, you know, with South Carolina winning, they went on an undefeated run. There's at least some story to that, too.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know.
No, I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
I did like how their coach, Dawn Staley, she said, you know, she wanted to give a lot of respect to Caitlin Clark for lifting up the women's sports dealing with all that pressure all season. So I thought that was cool.
Handled it well.
I thought that was great. Yeah. I liked hearing that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see. I mean, you look at, like, what Steph Curry did for the game of men's basketball.
Yeah.
Like, the game is totally different now.
Right.
Know? People are shooting way more threes. Like, the play style is different. So maybe we'll see some of that effect with Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Like, the women's side, you'll see the game kind of start to change, which would be cool.
Yeah. I saw some similarities because we watched when Steph was at Davidson. He looked, I mean, he's not very big now, but he looked tiny. Like, his jersey was huge. Looked like a middle schooler out there. And he was just balling out. And I can't remember how far they made it. Maybe the Elite Eight.
I think they went to the Elite Eight, yeah.
And Davidson, it's like, what?
Yeah.
It was almost like an Iowa, maybe even more of a anomaly than Iowa getting there, because I didn't even heard of Davidson and haven't since.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad went to Davidson. That's the reason I knew about it. Really? Yeah, tiny school, North Carolina. Yeah.
And okay.
His dad's Steph Curry.
Yes.
Tell your dad I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of ultra famous people, you know, athletes, movie stars, we're in the midst of a up and coming Oscar winner.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I can't really be a no spoiler alert. So I can't really say how it's, but here's a script. Actually, here is part of the script right here.
Yeah, redacted.
Yeah, you can't
gray that out.
Let me see here. Should I? Here's one of my lines. In this day, word gets around. You tarnish that man's name. Talking about ruining someone's livelihood, can't just bust off on a whim.
No, did he?
I might have screwed that up. But yeah, so yeah, I am going to be, well, they say I got the part. I am going to be in a movie.
And
that's all I can say.
I mean, yeah. The word on the street is there's an Oscar campaign that comes with it. And
yeah.
Is this your first role in it, like a scripted?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you were talking about doing other stuff, SAG stuff. And
that was just an Under Armour commercial where.
Okay.
Yeah, it was me and the wolf. And that was, SAG was involved in that. So actually made money every time that aired. I got like a check for $900. So that's kind of cool. So, so yeah, I have done SAG work before. But in that I was more in my realm, bow hunting. We were in the mountains here in, on the coast of Oregon. We had a wolf and, it's kind of cool having that wolf there. I think they said to get the wolf, it was $5,000 a day or something.
So he's getting paid more than you.
That's the wolf's day rate. So they had a handler. And then to make a snarl, they said, okay, you guys got everything you want done before we make it mad. Because once we bring the meat out, because you bring the meat out, then take it away, and the wolf gets pissed. They said, once you do this, we're done. Because the wolf's not going to snap back and be like, do this regular stuff. Yeah. It's like gets in his head that it wants that meat. There is no working with it after that. And it, so that was
no did he?
That, yeah, you show the meat, right? The meat. That's the key. But yeah, so that was actually pretty cool. It turned into a pretty good commercial. But yeah, so we'll see. This is an actual movie with lines and everything else. And
well, we'll have to stick around so we don't can't give any spoilers. Can you even say what your part is? Probably not. Probably less air on the safe side.
What's that timeline look like? Like, when is that movie supposed to come out?
Well, filming this summer, and then I think coming out in 25.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not sure when in 25 it'll be, if it'll be early or summer. But, yeah, getting all the filming done this summer.
Yeah.
Sweet. Starting well, in May.
I mean, speaking of wolves, there's also some news we got to cover with wolves. Yeah, this article just came out, this guy in Wyoming, you know, chasing down a wolf on his snowmobile, disabling it, taping its mouth shut and bringing it into the bar.
God.
I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that.
In Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah. Sublet.
Was it a pup?
It didn't look like a pup from the picture. I mean, it looked like a decent sized wolf, maybe not full grown. If it was
so torturing it basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As they described it in the article, brought it into the bar for, you know, cheap thrills basically. God. And then afterwards they brought it out back and shot it.
Jeez.
So yeah, I mean, as a hunter, you know, as someone who advocates for predator control, I mean, what does this do?
Yeah, this is a black eye. If this guy gets lumped in with hunters, which I hope he doesn't, cause that's not, you know, with hunting, no matter what we're hunting, we want to show respect. We want to pursue it honorably, hopefully kill it mercifully. And that's how a hunter behaves. That's kind of what you want to do.
Right.
That's what we're trying. You know, we want to be respectful. Hunting is, you know, it's a tradition here in this country, and we need to do it the right way. So I hope they don't lump that guy into the what I would say call a hunter, because that couldn't be further away from what I think of as a hunter and what I think what we want to portray to people who don't hunt. So this is like, this is just like some redneck small town, which I'm both of those. So I'm not saying that, but it's like the worst of the worst type of, you know, this is like the bad guy they have in movies in Hollywood. They always make him some this backwoods dipshit hunter, right? Yeah. And so this fits right into that. And so the people who don't know hunters, who only see hunters portrayed on a movie, just like I described, and now they see this, then they're like, well, that's all hunters. There you go. Yeah. This is proof of it. And it's not. I mean, that guy is not a hunter, and I hope he gets the full extent of the punishment that he can have by law. And it's like, I hate the fact that, you know, yes, wolves just do what they do. It's not the wolves' fault that people are reintroducing them to areas. They're just going to do what they do. They're incredible animals. I don't have any ill will towards wolves. I think they're incredible. I got a wolf hide right there. I love wolves. But so hunting them and managing them when there's a manageable population, all that, that's how it works. That's what I want. Just randomly killing. And even when guys say that SSS, shoot, shovel, and shut up, you know, they're saying like, just kill wolves on site because we don't want them here. I don't even agree with that. Right. I think it should be done a science-based management program based on, you know, what we're trying to, the objectives we have for the elk herds, the deer herds, the wolves, if they're in this area, and they should all be hunted. That's how you manage your population. That's how you make it all balanced, because as we know, Mother Nature can't do that on its own. But for one guy to run one over, tape its mouth shut and fuck around with it in a bar, then kill it, it's like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's what's the point? What are you doing?
It's to have some story with your boys at the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, and now it's like, this is a black eye on all outdoorsmen.
Yeah, because you know they're going to take that and push the narrative.
Anything they can get a hold of, they will, especially with hunting. I mean, yeah, and what's been disappointing is this happened this winter. The sheriff in the county actually didn't know about it until he read about it in an article.
Really?
Yeah, and this guy got a $250 fine. That's it.
That's it?
Didn't have his license taken away.
He's already been prosecuted for this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
man.
Which is just disappointing. I feel like that's even more. It's like, well, look at this guy. He didn't even get reprimanded for this behavior. So clearly all hunters, you know, don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, they get a slap on the wrist. Exactly. Yeah. No, I would have wanted something much worse than that for this guy. I mean, I think it's terrible. And I think it's we work so hard to any press we get or any, you know, like if I'm posting on my social media, I'm always trying to be respectful and to give people who follow me or maybe come to my page who aren't hunters to where they understand why people hunt and the right way to do it. And now when they see stuff like this, because this will go all over the anti-wolf hunting or pro-wolf organizations, they're gonna, you know, push this.
Yeah.
This is gonna be out there a lot.
And probably not even just for the wolf hunting. I mean, they're gonna use it for all hunting. Bloodthirsty. Yeah. I mean, that's,
Yeah, lawless. I mean, it's definitely a black eye for all outdoorsmen. It's so disappointing. It's appalling. It just made me sick to my stomach to see it.
Yeah, I agree. It was just disgusting to see.
Yeah.
Well, on a different tune, some more news in the running world, but it's a little more, there's one thing that's outside, but a little bit in your sphere as well.
Hmm.
A couple weekends ago, you ran an 8K, kind of a heat check.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was hard. Yeah. An 8K is pretty much, so that's 5 miles for those that aren't into the Ks and the meters and the centimeters and whatever kilometers. So yeah, 8 kilometers is 5 miles. And basically I never know how, if I'm in shape, I run all the time, but you know, I see people like old guys running. They're running like 20-minute miles, but they think they're running. I'm like, is that me? Because I'm an old guy. Maybe I'm that. So it's like, I never really know because I don't wear a watch. I don't really do any splits or anything like that on my runs. I just kind of go out and whatever, just kind of punch a time clock. So I looked for this race and I thought, oh, here's this local race at Junction City here. And I'll go out there. Hopefully no one fast is out there. It makes me feel slow and old. And we'll see. So I think there's 100 and some people out there. It's pretty fun. Last Saturday. And saw these guys that were warming up. They looked pretty fast, pretty young. And I'm like, oh, I saw these girls running. I'm like, God, they look like track girls too. So this is going to suck. But yeah, we took off out of there, and I thought I was running pretty good, but there's this guy way the fuck up there. So I asked this kid who was kind of catching up to, we got to the 1 mile marker, and I said, hey, I said, what's our time at the mile? And he's like, you know, he's like, 5:59. And I'm like, okay. I said, how fast is that fucker running up there? Yeah. And I found out afterwards, the guy in front of us ran his first mile in 4:55. So just under a 5 minute mile taking off. And I'm like, you know, hopefully he blows up, but he didn't. He averaged 5:24s, I think, for the race, and he won. And then I passed this guy. He was in third. He's running pretty good. We went 2.5 miles out, then turned around, turned 2.5 miles back, reverse course there. And we turned around, and I was pretty close to him. Then I passed him after we started heading back. And I'm like, okay, I just got to try to keep the wheels on for a little over 2 miles. You know, so like you're doing the math. I'm like, if I'm running 6 minute miles, that's 12 minutes, 13 minutes, because I got another half mile. It's like, can I hold it together for 13 minutes? Which 13 minutes doesn't seem like that long, except for when you're sprinting.
Yeah. So it's like a plank. It's like the plank's the longest minute of your life.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Can you just shake it? Oh yeah, I can plank for a minute. Then you start doing it and you're like, how long? Wait, 30 seconds?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. You're like, what? My watch is screwed up. But yeah, so in watching TV, 13 minutes is nothing.
Yeah, it goes by quick.
It's context. It's God, you're pounding that freaking.
I'm starting to sweat. That was you know, energy drink.
Yeah. So I held it. The wheel started to come off at the very end, but held on for second place, and right at 30 minutes and 1 second, I think. So just a little over 6 minute miles. But yeah, that was a heat check.
Nice. So what was the heat check for?
I don't know.
This past weekend, you had a big 50K?
Yeah, I mean, those are two totally different races. I think the heat check was mostly for the Eugene Marathon,
okay,
which is at the end of this month.
Yep.
And because if I could run sixes for five, I should be able to run 6:40s for quite a while, mm-hmm, right?
Yep.
40 seconds slower is a lot. And to run under 3 hours at the Eugene Marathon, I need to run like 6:44s or 50s or something like that. So I thought, well, let me see if I'm fit at the 8K, and then that'll give me a good gauge for Eugene. And then in between those two races was this last past weekend. So a week after the 8K was, I do this, it's called Shotgun Creek 50K, or no, Trail Blast, Shotgun Trail Blast 50K. And I've done that probably, I don't know, maybe seven times. And it's just a local 50K, but there's always good runners that show up, like one or two that are just going to fuck up your day. Usually it's my brother. Yeah. He's one of them. Or this other kid, not this kid, he's a guy, Nate Jaqua. He played professional soccer for quite a while, I think 10 years. And then now he won Crazy Mountain Ultra, which is that one in Montana, which is tough.
Yeah.
Those mountains are rugged, and he's won the Hurt 100 in Hawaii, I think a couple times, which is another really hard 100. So he's won, he beat Taylor once. And I think, I can't remember where I was in that year, but, and if he doesn't show up and him and Taylor aren't battling, then Taylor's won it like four times, my brother. So you never know who's going to be out there. Anyway, I planned, you know, I'm always like just seeing how I feel. I never feel great, but if I don't feel like a complete piece of shit, I'll show up. So that was this Saturday, and I showed up. And Taylor, he's got a big race coming up this weekend, the Peterson Ridge. I think it's a 40 miler, and Nate Jock was running that. So they both didn't want to blow out their legs the weekend before. When you do those, you know, a 50K is, for people that don't know, 31 miles, and it's in mud. I mean, it's it's a lot of work. Your legs will not bounce back in a week. I mean, you might feel okay, but you can't push again that fast usually. Black Rifle Coffee is celebrating a decade of coffee in 2024. They're the only coffee I drink, and supporting them is supporting veterans and the outdoor community. One of my favorite packages that I get on a monthly basis is a Black Rifle Coffee Club exclusive coffee roast. The only way you can get it is if you subscribe to the coffee club, and this month's coffee is a full-bodied roast, and it comes from the jungles of Brazil, Pink 79. The exclusive coffee club subscription gives you nothing but the best. It's a coffee of the month club where you get premium roasts from the best farms worldwide. Black Rifle Coffee is America's coffee. It's veteran-owned and operated. They support hunting and conservation and give back immensely to the veteran community. They're offering followers of the podcast 20% off on your first purchase to the coffee club or order on their site using code KEEPHAMMERING to get America's coffee today. So you want to learn to bow hunt, huh? Well, I've partnered with Mountain Ops to bring back the Lift Run Shoot experience, and I am inviting you to join us this year in Austin, Texas. Hosting us May 3rd through the 5th is Archery Country Pro Shop in Austin, and included in the ticket price is an all-new Hoyt Alpha X bow, along with a dozen Easton arrows, my signature Speedland running shoes, a full optics package, a bino harness, GORUCK plate carrier, a Grizzly 45-quart cooler, an Origin Raptor kit, and of course, a fat stack of Mountain Ops supplements. Not only do you get geared out to hunt, you get education on all things bow hunting. Go Hunt will even be there giving you guidance on the tag system in your state and other state opportunities to hunt. It will be a one-of-a-kind weekend with yours truly, and I can't wait to see you all there. For a limited time, we are offering listeners of the podcast 10% off of your ticket prices using code LRSAUSTIN, that's for Lift Run Shoot Austin, and to find details on the event, go to mountainops.com. So neither one of them showed up to Shotgun because they're saving themselves for this Saturday coming up, which I'm excited to see how that race plays out because there's always some good runners. It's over there in Central Oregon. And
what's the distance of
it's
that?
It's 40 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so a little bit further than 50K, but they're going to fly because it's not going to be muddy. You know, it's central. It's a little drier there in Central Oregon, so it should be good. But we went, showed up Saturday. We're sitting in the parking lot. You guys were there and we're kind of scanning, seeing the cars pulling in, people getting out of the cars. You know, I'm always like, who's this fucker? And I'm like,
scouting.
You look at the stickers on their car and then you see the, oh, Waldo 100K, all these other things. And I'm like, God damn it, this guy looks like he can run. So, yeah, you never know who's going to show up, especially in this area. This is Tracktown USA, right? And so had a pretty good bead on who was all there. There was this kid who got last year, Taylor won. I got second. Then this his wife grew up right down the street from us. And his name's Rodney. He's a really good runner. He did a couple hundred milers. And one of them just last year he did in 24 hours and 7 minutes, which is a good 100. And so he's tough and he trains a lot and I think he wrestled at Oregon State. So that mentality is kind of what you need. So I knew that he would, you know, make whoever's going to win, it was going to have to be an honest effort to hold him off, you know, plus the other people I didn't know. But so it was just a good day to run, muddy. Didn't really rain, just perfect weather pretty much for hitting it hard. So it was good.
Yeah. I don't think you, have said where you finished yet.
We're just trying to run hard the whole time. Get a good, good solid effort.
He won. Yeah. He won't say it, but I will.
Yeah. It was good. I think, so we do six laps of 5.2 miles per lap. And it's, you take off out of there and it's kind of a long uphill gradual climb for about 600 feet, I think, which doesn't seem like a lot, except when you're trying to run fast, then that elevation you feel. And then you get up and then you do, so a couple miles to do that, then about a little over three down and around along the creek. And it gets muddier as it goes, because as you guys noticed, there's four races that day. Mm-hmm. The 50K starts at 9. I think the 25K starts at at 8. The 25K starts at 8:30.
Yeah, I think it was 30 minutes after.
Yep. And then, let's see, there was a 15K and a 10K, is that what, or
10K and a 5K.
10K and a 5K. So four races, and they had 100 and some, I don't know what the total was, but on a muddy single track, doing laps of 100, it's going to get, by the end, it's a soupy mess. And I don't know anybody who's tried to run, and you're trying to run fast, when you're wasting energy because your feet are sliding around, but you're trying to stay upright, it takes some out of you. It's not like running on a road.
Did you take any falls? Because you came through with some battle scars.
Yeah, and I went down probably at least 3 times.
I think a lot of people did. I mean, yeah, every lap there'd be a new person that comes through with a big mud streak on their side. Yeah. Hobble in their step. Like,
I even had good shoes for it. I saw people run, like having road shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know how they stayed upright at all.
Well, there was one guy with road shoes on, and when, you know, everyone was lining up to start, I heard him lean over to someone and say, "Is this all on the road?"
No.
It's going to be a bad day.
The only road there was like where you could see us coming out of the trees over there and right past my truck, pretty much. So that, whatever that was, 150 yards. That was the only road for 5.2 miles. Yeah. The rest of it was mud. So, yeah, I don't know how those guys didn't. I mean, and it's steep. You come down off that top, it's like some of them, you could see where everybody's grabbing a tree to stop themselves because they had to grab something. Otherwise, they're sliding right off the trail. But, yeah, it was good. I went out. My goal, because I'm old, not that fast, but I thought, well, if the, you know, Rodney, he's 27 or something like that. If it comes down to the end and he's pretty fresh and I'm pretty fresh, I'm going to lose. So I needed to go out fast, hopefully faster than he should have. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he pays for it later. And hopefully there's always a chance that I wouldn't pay for it too. So I went out pretty fast, which 40 minutes for that is fast.
Yeah.
To do that loop.
Yeah. I mean, I think on our way up there, you said, oh, you know, the laps average, you know, around 45. And we had set a timer for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Got out of the truck at 40. And then the announcer's like, here comes the first 50K. And we were like,
you
shit.
Came through way faster than you were expecting.
Yeah. So I went out hard and was trying to see, you know, who could keep up. You know, I didn't know the other people who were running, but, if anybody could keep up, I'd be like, okay, let's make it pretty quick pace. And so 40's fast for that. And then I don't think I stopped or got any water. I think I had, my water was still good maybe. And so I had one little bottle, 8-ounce bottle I was packing with me. And so didn't stop, kind of kept going to the second lap in 40 minutes also.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know what my gap was at that time. Do you remember what?
It was like 5 minute increments for a while.
Yeah, after
he came through.
After the first lap, I think it was like five minutes. Right?
I think.
Yeah. And then after that second, I think it was 10.
It was 10.
Yeah.
And then from like there, 24. That increased.
So that strategy kind of paid off.
Yeah. I slowed down too, but I think I went 40, 40, 43, 46. And then how many is that? That's four. And then
40, 40, 43, 46. I think you had a 47 right after the 46.
Oh, and then 50. Then
50.
Yep. Yeah. So I slowed down, but still, if you can stay under 50 is good later in the race. And then I was just at the end, after all that, you don't want to push that hard and then get beat. So I was still trying to push, but my legs were a little bit fatigued. And so all I had in me for that last lap was a 50, but it was still enough to get the win. So.
Yeah, we were taking over-unders in the parking lot of what the last lap was going to be.
What'd you guys guess?
Tanner had a wild guess.
Yeah, we thought you were
39.
39?
He thought your fastest lap was going to be last.
I said 41.
But then he changed it to 41.20.
41.20.
I think I had you at 43.10. We thought you were going to kick it into like a
We thought you were going to get up to that uphill spot where it comes down and you were just going to start putting the pace down.
I thought you were going to walk in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would have been nice. Yeah. My legs were, you know, by that time we were, you know, 26 miles in So you got a marathon on your legs already.
Yeah.
It's tough to, it would be nice. Yeah. It would be nice to fly in that fast, but you know, my, my strategy on those is I can run like a lot of ultra runners aren't super fast on the roads. So I'm pretty fast for like an ultra runner, for an average ultra runner, not for elites. I'm not talking elites. I'm talking average, but to be able to run like on that flat along the creek coming back, I could run like 6:30s.
Yeah.
You were so, pretty good. So I could run, I figured quicker than most of the other ones on the flats. Maybe they'd get me on the going up or the down. So I was trying to really push the flat part.
Yeah.
And
my theory was you're gaining most of your time in the uphill just because I feel like, yeah, you're pretty relentless on the uphills, at least when I have to follow you with a camera.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of guys who do those are really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm good at anything. Compared to average people, I'm decent on the flats. That's my only strength.
Yeah, so. I mean, from where we were standing, it was like a minute and 10 seconds once we could see you pop up. So it was like 42 minutes came around and we're like, oh, then 44. And it was like, oh
for the last
yeah, and then the bets.
And then I remember you saying, if you can keep it below 50, that's really good towards the end of the race. And so like, it was like 48:30. And I was like, come on, pop out, yeah. Pop out. Cause I wanted you to come in below 50 on the last lap.
But, yeah.
No, it was a solid effort.
Yeah.
Tanner and I were talking and it was like, you know, I think a lot of people, obviously keyboard warriors, love to just say whatever comes to their mind because there's no consequences for whatever they say. But
yeah,
we were just like, you know, so many people in the comment sections under your posts have no idea that pretty legit and badass runner. So it was cool to go out there and see get the win. Hand. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, what I liked about it was all the other people out there doing the other races. It was cool. I mean, there's a little kid out there.
Yeah, that 11-year-old with the 25K.
I know.
And I mean, he came in moving pretty good too.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, I saw, you know, I came by them a couple of times. I told him one time I go, how lucky are we? He goes, are you on your third lap already? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh man. I said, yeah, I'm lucky. I get to do double what you guys get to do. I said, I'm twice as lucky as you. I said, but you're lucky you get to do three laps out here. Just like, and he was just having a good time with his dad. And so I thought, I was really impressed. He just was, I don't know how he finished, but he's positive every time I saw him and working hard.
I mean, he was really positive when he came in too. It seemed like he had a blast. So mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's cool. I mean, shame on, you know, that dad for putting his kid through such a hard thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That probably reminded Tanner of when his childhood and his shitty dad put him through stuff.
Back all the bad.
I was gonna say at one point I did look at Tanner and he was crying.
He had flashbacks.
Yeah.
Tanner did some tough I see. One, I remember there's a picture of him. He did the Gorge half marathon. I think he was 7 and ran like a 2:02 for half marathon, which is freaking good.
For a 7-year-old?
7-year-old. And that was, it had a big climb. You went so 6.5 miles or something up and then turn around and come down. That's a good effort to run 2:02.
Yeah.
So he was pretty young. I remember there's a picture of him and Trace on that road. And we're just giving the dad a hard time. I know the family and great people, but I think it's important to, I think it's only positive to show kids what working hard for something. So that kid ran 15 miles in the mud. That's incredible. It's awesome. But the positives he can take from that and that experience and to think back when shit gets hard, you know, at school or whatever, and just be like, well, I did do 15 miles in the mud going uphill, up and down hills. You know, that helps anybody, let alone a kid.
Definitely.
So I thought that was neat. There's a guy who I went to high school with. He was out there. He did the 50K, Carl Llewellyn. Love him. He's just super supportive, tough guy. I've always seen him at Pisgah. The race organizers there, they've been around forever. Love those guys. They put on great events, good food, good soup at the end. a guy who I worked with over here at the, it used to be Coast to Coast Warehouse, it's now a True Value, but Kelly Padawan, he always helps those races. And he was there. I've known him for over 30 years. We used to go play basketball down at down on campus. He was loved the Lakers, and he would he would had the best Magic Johnson moves. He was just a baller. And so we'd go down there and try not to get in fights, and the college kids would just be crazy. We played under Matt Court, which is where now it's Matthew Knight Arena. They used to play at Matt Court, which is still there, but underneath they have gyms. So on Friday and Saturday nights, you could go and open gym. Some good games down there. But me and Kelly used to go do that, then go to the bar afterwards and be idiots. But yeah, so it's just saw a lot of cool people. I love the ultra community for sure.
No, that was sweet. Well, last thing in the kind of running world, I know I brought this up last time, but he's finally finished.
Yeah.
And that's just the hardest geezer finally did it.
I know.
Yeah.
Incredible. Did you know that was 9,000 something miles?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. 9,000.
I think I saw a stat that he ran, it's like 385 marathons or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
You know, and rightfully so, it's a big deal running across the United States.
Yeah.
It's only 3,000 miles.
Yeah.
That's like a fucking sprint.
Yeah.
Compared to that.
Well, and then he like got kidnapped during the process. He got kidnapped.
Held at gunpoint.
Like robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah.
And he still finished it. Like talk about it.
I didn't know he got kidnapped.
Shit. Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
It's pretty iconic. I mean, I don't know. That's going to stand for a while. We were thinking, Tanner was saying, what's the longest you could do? And I was like, well, you could run, theoretically, you could run from the top of Canada to the bottom of South America.
That's right, yeah.
Couldn't you?
Hypothetically.
If you, yeah. Well, you'd have to get on a ferry through the Panama Canal.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's the same with the Pan-American Highway. You can drive the whole way. And that section right through there apparently is extremely dangerous.
Where?
Even when driving it, the section where you're going across the Panama Canal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not quite, there's not a road there. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, if someone could run that, but that would be, how many miles would that be?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
That'd have to be over 9,000 though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess technically you could go.
Cause the US from Canada to Mexico is like 2,000.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know.
That's a good distance.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it'd be, but yeah, we were talking about what's the longest run you could do.
Yeah.
I threw that up, but I forgot about the Panama Canal.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if anyone's going to want to be like, all right, I'm going to go get the FKT of the length of Africa.
Oh my God.
I'm shooting for 340 days.
What a beast.
Yeah. That is just super impressive.
It is cool just to see like people doing cool shit.
And I know last time we talked about it, you know, we were wondering why he hadn't gotten as much press, and it kind of seems like he's getting
now
the recognition.
Yeah. Now, you know, I used his mindset during that race. Cause I was by myself pretty much the whole time, so you go through these mental little hurdles or challenges. And, I remember they asked him, I saw a clip and they said, he said he was sick, you know, probably got sick a couple times during a year.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically running for a year. Yeah. And, he said he was sick. So he's going to take it easy that day. And they said, well, what's taking it easy? And he's just like 50K. So I'm like, okay, if he could run every day for however many miles, 60 miles, and then taking it easy was what I was doing on Saturday, I should be able to do at least that on one day, right? So I'm like, if this fucker, when he's sick, is just going to, you know, easy day 50K, I better be able to push on this race. So
easy day 50K of you.
I used him on
a t-shirt.
What's that?
It's an easy day, 50K.
Yeah.
It's got a ring to it.
Well,
getting a little too comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
I also know there was, she's a race organizer that I know. She's a friend. Her name's Candace Burt. She set the record. She ran a 50K every day for how many days was that?
200.
Over 200 days. So yeah. Ultra marathon, over 200 days in a row.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I wonder if he must've had some breaks in there, because otherwise he would have broken that, I'm guessing, if his rest days were 50 Ks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless maybe he broke it.
Yeah. Very well could have.
Because sometimes when those guys do, like I know Camille Heron, she ran something, I don't know how many miles, but for 6 days, and she broke like 12 records, like women's record for a day, for, you know, 2 days, 3 days, yeah, something like that. It's like broke them all,
right?
Because she just was hardly ever stopping.
Yeah.
And I think she had a pretty good pace going. It was pretty flat. So you can rack up the miles if your body will hold up. And now I'm pretty sure I just saw that Candace is trying to go for the FKT on the Arizona Trail. She just started, I think, today or yesterday, 800 miles. So I'm pretty sure.
What is
Tanner, can you check that one too? Candace Burt.
What's that? Do you know what the FKT is now?
No. Yeah, because Mike McKnight, I think he's going to be trying to get it. He tried to do it last year. I was going to help pace him, but I think it's 15 days. Mm-hmm. So for 800 miles.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And last year he was going from the south, I think, and Ben Light was going from the north, and they were going to pass each other and see who could get done first. And Ben, I think, made it maybe 200 miles. Mike made it 600 miles. Neither one of them completed it, so it's still out there. And now I'm pretty sure Candace just started yesterday. Did you find that?
Get my mic on.
Okay.
Yeah, 22 hours ago, 800 miles.
And that she's doing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So does it say what the FKT is?
No, I couldn't find anything. Well, I could probably look that up, but
yeah,
that was just on her Instagram.
Right, yeah. So I knew she did, and she's freaking tough. She's won, like I said, 200 days of 50K, so.
It's called the Arizona Trail?
Yeah, Arizona Trail. And she just texted me, there's a new race coming up that I was talking to Courtney about too, but it's going to be a year from now, and it's in Arizona, and it's 300 miles. So it's called the Monster 300. So I think might sign up for that one. Ooh, that's going to be the big goal for next year.
So the female FKT is 17 days, 11 hours, 3 minutes.
Okay. I bet she'll get it.
That was in 2019.
Yeah. She's a beast.
Yeah.
She's a beast.
When you're in like Saturday's race, the 50K, is there a point where you hit, you know, maybe it's on that last lap, you're 3 miles out, 2 miles out, but is there ever a time where you hit mentally, you're like, okay, you know, I've got this in the bag, I'm going to finish it. And I ran strong, or the whole time you're thinking, you know, just stay dialed in because something might go wrong? Or do you ever, I mean.
I was always telling myself when I came through, cause you guys were kind of keeping track of, you know, where second place was. So, I thought I felt pretty good about it, but I was thinking to myself, you know, like I said, the true good runners didn't show up. So I'm like, I'm never going to have a better chance to win. I've been leading this race. I led from wire to wire.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I was thinking, if I lose after leading this whole thing and just fucking let up or get weak, I was afraid of that. So I was trying to push as good as I could the whole time, stay focused, just work hard instead of, cause you can, if you let up, a 15 minute lead can go like that.
Right.
I mean, if you're walking, like a lot of people, their legs get so tired that they'll walk the hills. Well, if you're walking and somebody else is running,
that's time.
Fucking that time is gone in a hurry.
That gap's gonna get big.
Yeah, it is. So I was like, I gotta finish strong. So I was just trying, you know, I was been nice to be a little quicker in the last lap, but it was about what I had.
Yeah.
But no, I never really felt confident until even like coming around, I was just still checking back. Like, God, I hope I didn't fuck something up and, you know, get blown. Could you imagine? I remember Taylor one time, he said he was there along the creek. You know, it's kind of where we took those pictures the other day.
Yeah.
Do you remember where I jumped off? So that's where that trail comes right along. Oh, okay. That. It's on the road is on the one side. The trail we ran is on the other side. And, Taylor was right there. His shoe came untied. He bent down to tie his shoe, and that Nate Jacqua passed him and beat him by like under a minute. So I was like, I'm not letting that happen. So I was like running, trying to check, just like, even though you guys said, oh yeah, you're, I can't remember what the last gap I had was, but I was always worried.
Yeah, the last one was like,
I guess that's another pro to the Speedland shoes. No laces have to bend down and tie.
No one's ever going to pass me any time to shoe.
Yeah. No, it was fun. It was good. I mean, yeah, it was good to be able to get the win and see all the run with all those cool people. And,
yeah. And Speedlands finished 1-2 in that race.
They did.
That's a great point. It's a fast shoe.
It's a quick shoe.
I saw there's a few pair of them out there.
There's a couple, yeah.
Yeah, I saw another guy with them. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, because there was the guy running right behind you.
Rodney.
And then I think someone who ran a 25K.
Yeah, was them. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, they're perfect for that. I mean, Rodney went down a lot last year when he got third. And he sent me a message afterwards and he said he only fell one time. He said the shoes worked. They're definitely good in mud. And they're not that the lugs are far enough apart where they don't hold the mud.
Nice.
They shed it. So it's like you still got that traction all the time.
Yeah.
So they're like perfect for those conditions.
Well, I think that's it for past events. I mean, do we have anything coming up that we should be letting people know about? I'm trying to think. I mean, Tanner had mentioned last time, Cheeto's obviously going to be on, but we've got, it's another week before he comes on. A little more than a week, actually, too.
UFC 300.
Yeah.
I leave on Friday.
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Then we got Cheeto. Then we got Lift Run Shoot in Austin.
Yep.
And a 10K in Austin on Sunday. I saw Truett put something up that, can anybody beat me and my dad? So it's like, don't do that. Because there's so many fast fucking people out there. Yeah. But he did put that up. So, and then the Eugene Marathon, I guess. Oh, Eugene Marathon's before Austin. But there'll be a lot of good runners here for the marathon. Hopefully, we'll probably film some of that, whatever you guys can get.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess the other part of your run is I was out there filming too, so we'll have something from that to put out.
Yeah.
Don't know how long it'll be, but we got some pretty good footage. So.
Yeah, sweet. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the co-hosting or guest.
Yeah.
Guest hosting. What do we call this?
Bring our, we can wrap up with the Hardest Geezer did say I was snatched by machete wielding tribe.
He did?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
100 days into his challenge.
So I wonder where he, what country does it say?
Whatever country has cannibals.
Oh, fuck.
He says he...
So... He feared, all of them.
He feared he may have encountered cannibals.
God.
So how do you get out of that situation?
I mean,
run?
Yeah.
But he says he was snatched.
I don't know.
Africa's a wild place. Nothing would surprise me there. No. Nothing would surprise me. I mean, 100 days, so he's over there. He went over on the West Coast. Shit.
But this article doesn't really expand on that, so
no.
I don't know. This is thesun.com.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure he'll write a book about it.
The U.S. Sun.
We want to get him on the pod.
I was going
to
say, I hope he comes on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that when him running like in the sandstorm with goggles on.
Yeah.
Oh, so
too ferocious.
So badass.
Yeah.
I mean, what a fucking beast. If all these people who I've been in contact with actually came to the podcast, because it's been Sean Strickland, Channing Tatum, Hardest Geezer. I haven't been in contact with him, but talked about him. Who else is on our wish list? Caitlin Clark.
That would be sweet.
Caitlin.
That would be sweet.
People talked about she can't be the GOAT because no championship, but I did see a graphic about Pete Maravich. You guys know who that is?
Yeah.
Pistol Pete. He never won a championship, and he averaged like 44 a game.
Yeah.
Just, you know, icon.
Yeah, I mean.
Larry Bird never won a championship in college.
He's in no GOAT conversation.
That's what I was going to say is, I mean, does he come up in the GOAT conversation, though? Definitely not like, you know, the main three do. You know, I feel like there's really three prominent ones. I mean, I guess there's like four or five, but yeah. I mean, hopefully she's recognized for what she brought to the sport. And it's
Larry
unfortunate.
Bird didn't. I guess Jordan did win one, didn't he?
Jordan?
At court.
Yeah, he won six.
No, one in college.
Oh, in college?
Yeah, he hit the game winner.
Yeah, yeah. As a freshman, he hit that that baseline jumper kind of.
Yeah.
LeBron and Kobe have no
right. They, no titles. They never even played.
They didn't even play.
Yeah, so, but, you, yeah, so I guess they don't really reference college as a GOAT.
No.
Mm-mm. It's always pro, isn't it?
It'll be, I mean.
Well, I think to be the GOAT, you have to perform at the highest level.
Yeah.
Right? So it's got to be based off of your professional career, I think. Yeah.
I hope that people pay attention and it's not, right now, I don't know what, I don't even look at fucking WNBA scores.
Name a team. Name one WNBA team.
Mercury. All right. Or Liberty.
That tells me all I need to know about you guys.
Aces. I think Las Vegas Aces is a team.
Oh, he's the WNBA's largest fan right here.
I don't know if I can name five guys in the NCAA tournament this year.
That's very true.
Yeah, I don't think I could.
But the girls just dominated.
Yeah.
So it was that was pretty sick.
Well, wasn't the Iowa LSU game like across it was, all sports? Like
it was more watched than some NBA finals, not last year's, but I think maybe the year before.
No,
it last year's?
Yeah, and then also I saw the numbers for South Carolina, the last game, and it was like 18 million. So most watched ever.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
More than every MLB game last year, like every college football game minus one, I think.
Yeah.
Like that's impressive.
I know.
And I think, looking at what Caitlin Clark and all those people did for the sport.
I mean, it was cool, like kind of being invested into something different.
Yeah.
You know, sure. We're joking around, but
it's hard to ignore greatness.
It is. Yeah. And it was so fun to watch. And it's like, we're joking around, but we a lot of respect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all out of just admiration.
Yeah.
That's a weekend update or weekly update or whatever we're calling these things. And with Gideon and Lawrence.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks for watching.
The T-minus 72 crew.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. Keep hammering. We are taught to fear the dark, but for me, I thrive there. I know, you're thinking Bane, right? You merely adopted to it. Knowing most people are warm in their bed sleeping while I'm out there grinding has always driven me to work hard and to outlast the rest. What you do in the dark matters. So ask yourself, are you doing enough? My team and I wanted to put more meaning behind this year's truck giveaway and spark the ember that starts the fire. We need your help turning it into a wildfire and sharing hashtag what you do in the dark. Going with that theme, this year's truck is one of the sickest I've seen. One lucky supporter will win a brand new, loaded, blacked out Ram TRX and $10,000 in cash. Your unwavering support and dedication have fueled my passion. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Thank you for being there, for believing in me and cheering me on, and for being a part of this incredible journey. Good luck. And don't forget to show us hashtag what you do in the dark, because it matters. Keep hammering. Hoyt Archery has been my bow hunting sponsor since 2005. And personally, I really don't care what bow you shoot, what brand it is. I just hope that you have the same level of confidence in your equipment as I have in mine. Because I know if I get one opportunity with my Hoyt, it's going to pay off.